Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my wife and I complain to each other sometimes how our children seem to hear what we say, but they really don't hear. Oh, they hear what we say. Their ears hear the sounds, the words, the particular language that comes from our voices, but they really don't hear. Now, some people would say it's a difference between hearing and listening. Others say it's a difference between listening and selective listening. Others say it's a difference between listening and obeying. Whatever the disconnect, whatever the difference between the desired outcome of the sounds that come from our mouths and actually what comes out of our children's responses, whatever the difference between the anticipated causes of our voice and yet the result of our boys hearing our voice, well, whatever that difference is, that difference that sometimes drives us as parents nuts, and you too, whoever you're thinking of, well, whatever that difference is, Jesus feels, it seems, only more with the Jewish leaders in today's gospel. The Jewish leaders come to Jesus and they press him, they question him if he's the Christ. And Jesus responds, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." And the Jewish leaders come and they press him. "If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." And it's an odd question of Jesus, when you consider this passage not isolated by itself, but in the context of the whole Gospel of John, in the context of all that had happened, it's an odd question to Jesus. Jesus says, "You have seen my miracles, all the things I've done. They testify to what I do, and what I do is in my Father's name." And these miracles were no small miracles. Jesus, for instance, he healed the blind man. The blind man who was blinded from birth. And everybody knew he was blinded from birth. And now he's a grown man, and now he sees. The crippled man. Not just any crippled man, but the crippled man who was crippled for 38 years and begged for healing in front of everybody was now walking. Jesus fed 5,000 people and 4,000 people, plus women and children, with just a few small loaves of bread and fish. He turned water into wine, the best wine, at a wedding banquet. And so much more, he even raised the dead at a funeral procession in front of everybody. The Jewish leaders come to Jesus and they press him and they question him if he's the Christ. And it's an odd question in the context of all that he's done. I mean, if Jesus was not the Christ, how does he raise the dead? How does he turn water into wine? How does he give sight to the blind and heal the crippled? What are they waiting for? The Jewish leaders, they come and they press and they question Jesus if he's the Christ. It's an odd question in the context of all Jesus has done, but it's not so odd of a question when you realize when and where they're questioning him. John tells us it was the Feast of Dedication. Feast of Dedication is another term for Hanukkah. Hanukkah was not one of the great festivals of the time of Moses, you know, like the Passover or the Feast of the First Fruits or the Feast of Booths, that all commemorated God's salvation back in the time of the days of Moses. Hanukkah was about 200 years old now in the time of Jesus, and it did celebrate something significant. It celebrated how God delivered Jerusalem from the Romans about 200 years earlier. A guy by the name of Judas Maccabees and his followers raised up with swords and and knives, and they fought the Romans, and they got the Romans out for a time being. And the people celebrated that. It's not that the Jews questioned if Jesus had power. They knew he had power. That's why they were following him and questioning him. It's not that they questioned if he had done these miracles. These Jews were not seeking a new miracle from Jesus. We know that because the very next chapter, Jesus raises Lazarus from dead after being dead for 4 days in front of a whole crowd, including some of his Jewish critics and enemies. And they don't believe, and they don't follow him. Instead, rather, they want to kill him and Lazarus. Again, he has to die. These Jews don't want just another sign from Jesus. They don't want a new miracle. They want Jesus to be the next Judas Maccabees. That's what they want. In fact, Judas Iscariot, the one who betrays and hands Jesus over, that's why he betrays and hands Jesus over. Because Jesus isn't doing what he wants him to do. They see Jesus' power. They want him to be their Messiah. But they want their Messiah to listen to their voices. They want Jesus to cast out the Romans, to restore the kingdom of David as it was in the good old days. And if Jesus can heal the crippled and heal the blind and feed 5,000 and turn water into wine, he should be able to do what we need him to do. He should be better than Judas Maccabees. He should drive the Romans out and restore the kingdom. If Jesus is the Christ, our Christ, the Messiah, our Messiah, then he will hear our voices, they assume. And if Jesus is my Messiah, my Christ, he would hear my voice, I often assume. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, Jesus says. I know that I am Jesus' sheep, without a doubt. He called me to be his sheep in baptism, as Pastor Jim led off this whole service by mentioning that. I gather here every week because I hear his voice. I follow Jesus because he knows me. This is most certainly true. But this is also most certainly true. Sometimes I, being a very dumb sheep, because sheep are dumb, I wander from Jesus. For whatever reason, whatever the disconnect is from his voice and what I actually do, I just wander away from Jesus. I fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus walked on the earth. We all like sheep have gone astray. We each go our own way. We get caught up in our own little sheepy lives, doing what we do best, living the way we want to live, not the way he's called us to live. Oh, we hear his voice. We're taught his voice from Sunday school, through VBS, through confirmation. We hear his voice every time we gather here. But then we just wander out into the world. And although we hear his voice, we just, well, there's a disconnect. A disconnect from what we hear and what we do. And that disconnect that Aaron and I feel with our kids that drives us so nuts sometimes, Jesus feels that way with me. Only more, I'm sure. Jesus spoke clearly on how we should view all our possessions. As gifts from the Heavenly Father. But we view them as things we've earned by our hard work. Our possessions, not his possessions. Jesus spoke clearly on how we should care for the poor, the weak, the people who we wouldn't usually hang out with. Yet we love the people we love. We love the people who love us first. We're supposed to love not just our neighbors, but our enemies, Jesus says, but that's too hard to do. Jesus spoke clearly on how marriage is an honorable state created by God, the Creator, for a man and a woman. He clearly told the woman who was caught in adultery that he was not judging her, but he told her to leave her sinful life. He called it sin. He clearly taught that if anyone looks at someone lustfully, they commit adultery. But we justify our sinful and adulterous ways by twisting Jesus' words, "Do not judge, lest you be judged," to mean that our life must be okay. Jesus clearly spoke on how where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is. To take, eat, and to take and drink, and to do it often. And yet we justify our lack of worship attendance with the idea that we have a personal relationship with Jesus. We can meet Jesus anywhere. Jesus commanded us not to worry about anything in this world because our Heavenly Father will provide everything we always need. But instead of taking our worries to our Heavenly Father and praying to Him in our distress and trusting He will provide, we worry all the more about the things of the world. It's no wonder that Jesus said over and over, "He or she who has ears, let him or her hear." The truth is, while we may not be the first century Jews who did not hear, listen, obey, or follow the voice of Jesus because of their sinful desire to want Jesus to kick out the Romans and restore the kingdom of Jerusalem in that way, we, like sheep, have gone astray. We are a sheep through baptism for sure, but we go astray. And we want Jesus to hear our voice. We often don't want to hear His. And the problem is, when we go astray, there is a devil who is roaring around like a roaring lion out there, and he is seeking us to devour. The truth is, Jesus did not come to this earth to hear our voices, to give His approval of our sinful wandering ways. Jesus came to give His voice or wandering way. Jesus came to be our shepherd, our very good shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, they would die. They're that dumb and helpless. I need a shepherd. Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus came to seek us. Jesus came to call us by His shepherd's voice to follow Him. To follow Him away from the devil, away from the roaring lion, away from our sinful ways, which all lead to death, eternal death. Jesus calls us away from that because He is a shepherd who leads to life, eternal life. And Jesus proved His voice is worth following. He proved it to the Jews back then and anybody who was watching and listening, to the crippled, "Get up and walk." And he got up and walked. To the demon-possessed, "Come out of him or her." And the demons listened and they came out. To the blind, the deaf, "Be opened." And their eyes and their ears were opened. To the dead, "Get up." And they got up. Jesus proved that His voice is worth following. Not just by saying those things and doing those things, but ultimately by laying His life down for us, His sheep. And then taking it back up in resurrected life. No other shepherd, no other person would or could lay their all perfect and powerful life down for us so that we may have eternal life. This shepherd leads away from death and into eternal life. And that's why His voice is worth following. And that's why you and I gather here today. And that's why you and I follow and hear His voice. Although we don't deserve His life, He lays it down. We are His sheep, not because we always act like it, but because He was slaughtered as a perfect lamb for our sins. He came not to hear our voice, not to give His approval to what we want in our voices, but He came to die for our sin, so that we may be able to hear His voice and follow His voice to a perfect and eternal life. His voice, which perfectly proclaims, "Father, forgive them. It is finished. See my hands and see my pierced side given for you. I love you. My shepherd, hear my voice." This good shepherd knows us, and we follow Him. "Yes, this Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. This Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. And so we hear and we follow. We follow to the green pastures and the still waters, the paths of righteousness. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, we follow. Because we will not fear any evil, because he is with us. He even prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Our cup is always overflowing. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And we, his sheep, we will dwell in his house forever. In Jesus' name, our good shepherd, whom we have heard his voice and we follow. Amen.